Tuesday night saw three clubs make it three wins from three in this season's group stage. Bayern, Napoli and Club Brugge are now in a great position to qualify for the last 16 of the UEFA Champions League. Meanwhile, Marseille and Porto got their first wins of the campaign, whilst Liverpool beat Rangers at a raucous Anfield and Inter were victorious against Barcelona. We'll review it all over the next 30 minutes. Chris Parrott, and we were treated to 24 goals in our eight matches as match day three got underway in style. These the scores in Group A, Liverpool 2, Rangers 0. And how about this for a scoreline? Ajax 1, Napoli 6. Group B, Porto 2, Leverkusen 0, Club Brugge 2, Atletico 0. Group C, Inter 1, Barcelona 0, and Bayern 5, Pilsenia 0. And in Group D, Marseille 4, Sporting 1, and Eintracht Frankfurt 0, Tottenham 0. Alongside me to sum it all up is the former Tottenham captain, Jenna Scalacci. Thoughts first, Jenna, on your former club, a point in Germany, a battling point. Antonio Conte, will he be happy with that, given that that they now host Frankfurt next week in London?
Yeah, I think given what they're coming off of the back of, a disappointing, a draining London derby and obviously a loss, I think he'll take a point going back to Tottenham Hotspur Stadium next week. I think it was important that they didn't lose tonight. I think just for team morale more than anything, and, you know, they've got anything is possible at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. When it's full, when the fans are there, when the atmosphere is absolutely buzzing, you know, you have to back Tottenham in an atmosphere like that.
Which it will be next Wednesday night when they host the German side. Also joining myself and Jenna, commentator Mark Scott, who had the pleasure, I think, of commentating on Inter Barcelona. It was a great game, and Mark, the celebrations that we're seeing at the full-time whistle, you could see what it meant to Inter to see that one through.
Absolutely, and coming off what's been a tricky time in Serie A and without some key players like Lukaku and Brozovic, they put in a very united, well-organised performance. Barcelona had a lot more of the ball, they had the better quality in possession, but they were kept at bay by a really battling display from Inter, and that could bode well, not just for qualification from the group, but for their season overall.
Yeah, and there's something magical when the San Siro is really bouncing, and yeah, it most definitely was at full-time after that victory. Richard Connolly completes the panel. It was pretty loud at Anfield as well, and Liverpool were fairly comfortable, were they, against Rangers?
Yeah, they were very good tonight, Liverpool, particularly in the first half from an attacking point of view, where they got 1-0 ahead and could have had several more. The penalty early in the second made it a bit more comfortable for them, and they saw the game out to get what's been a relatively rare clean sheet for them this season, so that will be satisfying too. The way they managed the game in the end, I think, given what's happened domestically, will be of some importance. Rangers are getting a bit closer, aren't they? 4-0, match day one, 3-0, now 2-0, but they still haven't scored. There was a lot to be positive about, particularly the goalkeeper, but Rangers were well beaten tonight, in truth.
We will sum it up with you very shortly, Richard, but we have to start with events in the north of Italy. Barcelona made the trip to Milan to face Inter, and Jenna and Mark were your commentary team.
Çalhanoğlu now from distance. Oh, magnificent! Hakan Çalhanoğlu to put Inter in front. They've had a poor season domestically so far, but they now lead Barcelona on the stroke of half-time.
It's a low drive into the bottom corner, and the keeper didn't stand a chance. It nestled into the side netting. It's a fantastic reverse strike.
Certainly was the Turkey star. We know that he can hit them from distance. His first Champions League goal since 2016, which is a bit of a surprise given what a technician he is, Jenna. Over the whole 90 minutes, did you feel like Inter just about deserved it?
I think going into the match, not many people would have expected them to come away with a result like that today. And I think, you know, when the first half, I think they came out fearless. I think they looked dangerous on the counter-attack. Yes, they sat back, but they defended so, so well. And they really limited Barcelona in their own penalty area. And then in the second half, I think the block got deeper and deeper. They had to defend a lot more. But as I said during the match, for me, I didn't think they looked like scoring in open play, because Inter Milan looked so organised, so compact. The communication was on. Every single player knew exactly what their role was doing. And if one player pressed, it was like they're all on a string working together. And it's so hard to break that down. Barcelona, they kept poking and poking, and Dembele was a thorn in their side the whole time, but they dealt with it. And I think for me, my player of the match was the Inter Milan captain, Milan Skriniar. I think he kept Lewandowski very, very quiet all night, and that's a tough task.
Jen, I'm supposed to ask you for your player of the match at the end.
Oh, I've just given you a little clue.
He was superb, though, wasn't he? And Mark, a lot happened apart from the goal. Countless VAR checks. Barcelona thought that at one stage that they might have a penalty, but it just didn't quite happen. And like on match day two, when they had some very good moments away at Bayern but were beaten, it's kind of the same thing again that we've seen from them, ultimately coming out second in a game where they were certainly had chances maybe to even win it.
100%, yeah. Xavi said that, you know, they were competitive, they were in it against Bayern, but they weren't effective enough. And similar story again in this game, really. When you look at the stats, 67% possession for Barcelona at San Siro, 656 passes completed to Inter's 236.
Wow.
Yet, two shots on target each. And I think that is the key. Why was Lewandowski starved of real chances? He's been in glorious form this season, has scored some amazing goals, but didn't really have a serious chance throughout the whole 90-plus minutes. Now, that is something that they need to look at, because they knocked the ball around, they got into good positions, Dembele was dangerous, but as Xavi said was the case against Bayern, they weren't effective enough, and that could be used to describe the performance at San Siro.
I think in the first half we saw Lewandowski, he outsmarted the defenders when he came into the pockets, but I only saw him do that two times, you know, and sometimes as a striker, if you're not getting the service, you go and find it. But I only saw him do that twice in the first half and not even in the second half. And as a striker, if you are marked out of a game, and if obviously he's their main threat, so he's Inter Milan's biggest worry, and they've targeted him and it's worked. But then it's maybe the other players need to realise that. And yep. And they, you know, they take on the responsibility, because there are games, you see it, you know, when you watch Tottenham and Harry Kane gets marked out of games, it's up to Son or other strikers to come in and take that responsibility.
Certainly is. But Inter, last season, round of 16 for the first time since 2011. Ultimately, they were knocked out, but that was a big step forward for a club with such a rich history, who haven't even been in the Champions League quite a lot over the last decade, Mark. And now they go to Camp Nou next Wednesday with a three-point lead over Barcelona, behind Bayern, who we'll hear about in a moment. But they get any positive result there, and they are in with a fabulous chance of going through once more.
And you really wonder if it can kickstart their season domestically as well, because it's been a struggle for them, languishing in mid-table after an indifferent beginning to the Serie A season. And Simone Inzaghi's had to field some tough questions about that start to the season. But, you know, you have a 1-0 win against Barcelona in the bank. You've managed to prevent them scoring. And all the talk beforehand had been about Lewandowski and his rich vein of form in front of goal. He deserves a pat on the back for the changes he made. He made five changes to the side today. They're without some key players, Brozovic and Lukaku absent. They've looked a bit disjointed without the likes of them in their team, and they were anything but disjointed. Yes, they conceded a lot of possession in the game, they soaked up a lot of pressure, but it looked like they had a game plan, bar maybe the opening 10 or 15 minutes where Barcelona found it a bit too easy to get up towards the Inter end. I think that they did a good job.
They certainly did, and we can't wait for the return next Wednesday night. So remember, back-to-back Champions League week starting this evening, but the first of four nights to look forward to over the next, eight or nine. Well, the night began in Germany on Tuesday. In the same section, Bayern host Polzenia. Kevin Hatchard and Dan Roebuck watch this one.
Zane breaking forward. Real opportunity here. Terrific hit. Well, it opened up for him. And Zane has given Bayern the lead inside the opening 7 minutes here.
It's a wonderful strike. A pure hit. Goalkeeper left with no opportunity.
Goretzka helps it on. There's another chance here. Gnabry makes it his. Into the corner. Well, once more, Polzenia's defence was carved open. Mane bullies his way through. Could be another. Is another. This could get very bad for Polzenia because they've conceded again.
Again, it's far too easy, Dan. We've seen all three goals be preventable.
Zani controls inside the area. Wonderful goal! That is something really special from Leroy Sané.
He's not trying to thrash at it. He's not gone for too much power. He's just tried to place that inside the far corner, and that's exactly what he's been able to do.
Goretzka take a touch and push it through here for Choupo-Moting. Could be another, should be another, is another. In off the post, the substitute makes it five. We haven't managed to get to the hour just yet.
Well, you heard from Kevin and Dan there. And this is their assessment of that dominant Bayern performance in Munich.
A professional and polished display from Bayern München. There wasn't too much pressure on with Polzenia, who'd lost their first two games of this UEFA Champions League group stage, came to town missing players, missing their first choice keeper. Jindrik Stanek out with a shoulder problem. That meant that Marian Vedonia came in, and he was beaten inside the opening 21 minutes on three occasions. Sane, Gnabry and Mane, and really a terrific opening 45 minutes from Bayern, who then could rest players for Die Klassiker coming up at the weekend against Borussia Dortmund. Choupo-Moting and Sane, his second, a delightful first touch to set himself up to fire into the net for Bayern's fourth of the night. And what intrigued me, Kev, over the course of the 90 minutes is the way that Bayern played. Robert Lewandowski was a superstar for Bayern for a long, long time. They didn't rely upon his goals, but of course his goals shot them to glory. Now they play in a slightly different way, maybe a big way, different way that they played before. And you've got to say that the combination play between their attacking players was fantastic tonight.
It's dizzying. It's so difficult to really get a handle on because you've got players who start on the left wing, then they come into the centre, then they might go out to the right. If a player goes to the left wing to give the team width, you might have the fullback come in and make an underlapping run. So it's amazing to watch when it works. And actually, even in the games where they haven't been winning in the Bundesliga, for example, they've still been creating lots of chances. It's just been a question of occasionally being sloppy defensively and not quite being ruthless in attack. They were very ruthless in this game. Thought Leroy Sané was outstanding. Sadio Mane gave an excellent performance as well. Polzenia with an honest display. But ultimately, I think they'll be disappointed with some of the goals they conceded. So overall, another big step forward for Bayern.
And one thing that we have to say as well is that no Kimmich, no Müller. Those two players unfortunately contracted COVID. There are injury issues as well with the likes of Hernandez out at the moment. Coman, of course, not fully fit. Bouna Sarr wouldn't have been first choice anyway. But look, this is a smaller group, but it doesn't seem to make any difference for Bayern München. They were terrific tonight, and four different goal scorers and three wins out of three in Group C.
Yeah, they really were superb, Bayern. Sadio Mane was named the UEFA Player of the Match, although he says he was fortunate to get his first Champions League goal for Bayern.
Honestly, I'm supposed to give a pass.
Yeah,
but in football, always you need to sometimes this kind of luck. And honestly, I was lucky, and then I scored the goal. So yeah, I'm really happy about it. The performance of the team was great tonight, and we make fast start from the beginning to the end, and we create many chances, and we score five goals. I think at the end of the day, I would say we deserve to win.
Bit of history for Bayern, unbeaten now in 31 group games in the Champions League. That is a new best for this competition. Outstanding from Bayern. I'll quickly go through the Group C table. Then Bayern with 9 points. Then come Inter on 6, Barcelona on 3 and Plzeňa on 0 at the midway point in Group C. To Group A at Anfield, it was an all-British affair. Richard Connolly was your commentator as Liverpool of England met Rangers from Scotland.
A free kick for a foul on Darwin Nunez. Alexander-Arnold takes and scores quite magnificently. Floated it over the wall and into the top corner. And a statement strike from Alexander-Arnold. Liverpool relieved, I'm sure, to take the lead at Anfield. It's Salah in front of the cop here for Liverpool. Mo Salah scores straight down the middle. No heroics from McGregor this time. And Liverpool have the second goal that, frankly, they deserve. Salah's penalty.
Richard joins myself, Chris Parrott. Now, it sounded like a comfortable night and perhaps just what Liverpool needed after a slightly indifferent run.
Yeah, they weren't brilliant throughout, Chris, but they were energetic and they were dynamic. And more to the point, they were committed and they were solid. And I think, given the wobbles that they have experienced in the first couple of months of this season, maybe those qualities were what they needed to display. They were certainly good enough for Rangers. They didn't let Rangers play at all in the first half. And with some more precise finishing, could have had more than the single goal they scored. Alan McGregor in the Rangers goal was excellent in the first half in particular, but made another brilliant save in the second as well, before which Salah had scored from the penalty spot, and Liverpool never really looked in danger tonight. And again, given the goals they've conceded and the leads that they've conceded recently, that will have come as a major relief.
Well, you mentioned Alan McGregor there, who was Rangers' star, and we can hear from him now after he had a very, very busy evening.
That's a bad thing, aye. But realistically, we probably knew it was going to be. They were good, pressed us really well. Never really let us get playing. I don't know if we strung 5 passes together in the first half, to be perfectly honest with you. So we knew it was going to be tough. Quite a bit tentative. It seemed we gave them too much respect, but we didn't really get close to anybody, apart from getting away the free kick for the first goal. But no, we're just all right.
Very honest, that from Alan McGregor, Richard Connolly. You could sense the frustration. I mean, he's a Rangers boy. He's a Rangers fan. But that was how would we describe that post match interview?
Well, I mean, I honest, of course, and not without humour. I mean, most teams, if you go to Anfield and you play all right, I mean, there's a certain satisfaction that you haven't been dreadful and you haven't been humiliated, and they were far from that. But the reality is you need to be better than all right to get anything at Anfield, and that was what he was driving at there. Did they perform at their best? No, but what he was saying there was that Liverpool didn't allow them to, and I think, you know, that was logical. I mean, there is not a player in the Rangers side that would get into the Liverpool team. That is, I think, a fact. So for them to get anything from this today would have been a major surprise. Did they come out of it with some credit? Yes, I think they did, but they do have no points from 3 games and they haven't yet scored, and they didn't really look like scoring tonight until the last 5 minutes when they actually came pretty close. Matondo and Colak could both come on in the late stages, both forced saves from Alisson. So they might have got a goal at the end, but did they deserve anything? No, they were well beaten.
Well, here's what the Liverpool striker Mo Salah thought after their 2-0 victory.
It's a good night, not perfect, but it's important to win a game home, especially you have a tough group and we lost the first game, so we just need to carry on and try to win the next games. I think we just try to focus in each game. We take one game in time, because like in the Premier League also we're not in our form, but we just try to think in each game and we try to win and be first in the group in the Champions League and try to win also games in the Premier League.
So Liverpool 2, Rangers 0 elsewhere in Group A. Perhaps the result of the evening, perhaps the result of the group stage so far. Ajax 1, Napoli 6. The Serie A league leaders, who are having a brilliant campaign under Luciano Spalletti, were magnificent in Amsterdam. They actually fell behind to Mohamed Kudus's early goal, but Raspadori got 2. Di Lorenzi and Zielinski made it 4-1. Kvaratskhelia continued his amazing start to life in Naples with a fifth, and Simeone made it 6-1. And that was, by the way, Ajax's heaviest defeat in all competitions since November 1964. And this is full credit to Napoli, the first time that they have conceded that many goals at home in European competition, which, given their extraordinary history, four-time winners, remember, of the European Cup, says something about the quality of Napoli's performance. And Richard, I mean, Group A is very, very nicely poised. Napoli on 9 points, Liverpool 6, Ajax 3, Rangers 0. How do you see it?
Well, I mean, the top two are clearly now, you know, really in strong positions to reach the round of 16. For Ajax, that is a devastating blow. Dusan Tadic is going to come in for a little more criticism, I think, after that. Rangers at home next against Liverpool. You know, the teams can't afford to drop any points against Rangers now, because that's really going to count against you. We'll see how Rangers grow in the last three rounds of this group and see if they can make things more difficult. But it's going to be very difficult, I think, to change the order of those four teams going into the second half of the campaign.
Always looked like a terrific section, and it has not disappointed. Richard, thank you very much for now. Coming up, we're going to review the rest of Tuesday's action in the Champions League.
UEFA Champions League Matchday Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
Okay, to Group D, coming into match day three, Sporting had 6 points, Marseille had none. Not the case anymore, because Marseille ran out 4-1 winners. They fell behind inside 51 seconds to Francisco Trincao's brilliant left-footed effort. They then had a one-on-one, the Portuguese side, and then out of nothing, Antonio Adan tried to clear the ball. It hit Alexis Sanchez and went in for the equaliser. And that was the first of three goals in double quick time and a red card for Adan. And eventually Marseille ran out very comfortable winners, which really has kick-started their campaign. They'd lost 16 of their last 17 Champions League matches before that win. And it finished Eintracht Frankfurt 0, Tottenham 0. Jenna, you mentioned it already about the battling qualities of Antonio Conte's team. They had a very good chance from Son in the first half, so they could have left Germany with all 3 points, but that's going to be very, very interesting, isn't it, next week when these two teams meet once more.
It is. It's going to be like a cup final for them, and I've been to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium when there's been a lot riding on games, and the atmosphere in there alone really carries that team over. So I think going away with a point tonight isn't the end of the world for Tottenham. Of course, they would have liked to come away with 3 points, but I don't think they've travelled well in the Champions League. You know, they still look like they've got another gear they can go up from what I've seen in every game that they've played so far. So I think the atmosphere at Tottenham and what's riding on the game, you know, they've got a hell of a busy month coming up, the fixtures left, right and centre, and I think to still be in it and the destiny's in their own hands, really, in their own home ground.
Certainly is. It'll be a noisy bunch coming over from Frankfurt as well, I imagine, too. It's going to be a big old night in North London next Wednesday. We can hear now from the Tottenham midfielder, Pierre-Emile Højbjerg, who had an honest assessment of the match.
I thought we prepared, let's say, until the 16-yard box. We prepared the game well. We find the spaces well. We tried to get in behind them or in between them. I thought we did that well. But the opportunities we had, we didn't make it, let's say, to 100% chance or use the opportunity to get a clear chance, you know. And that's, disappointing. It's easy to say, but I think the last bite needed a bit, you know.
Well, Tottenham probably had the better of the first half. Frankfurt perhaps were the dominant team in the second period, and Jesperil So reveals why his team were so much better in the second period.
Yeah, it was. I think the problem in the first half was that when we win the ball, we lose it too fast when we play forward, and then we had to run a lot, and the legs get tired, and then they have chances, and that we try to change. We try to be more secure with the ball. And then, yes, I think we did it better in the second half.
So Group D at the midway point, listen to this, Sporting 6 points, Tottenham and Eintracht Frankfurt on 4 points, Marseille on 3 points. All four teams will all fancy their chances potentially of still going through to the last 16. The final section is Group B, and this one is very, very interesting. It finished Porto 2, Leverkusen 0. We had an unbelievable moment at Jenner at 0-0 when Porto thought they had scored. The move started with their goalkeeper. Brilliant counter-attacking goal. Mehdi Taremi poked in. They were off celebrating. But there had been a handball at the other end just before the goalkeeper picked it up. So instead of being 1-0 up, actually they were then facing a penalty, which was missed by Leverkusen, or I should say very, very well saved by the Porto goalkeeper. But in the era of VAR, that can happen. It doesn't happen very often, but it did in Portugal.
Yeah, I mean, I've never heard of that happen before. And then obviously the missed penalty at the end of it, it's a madness, isn't it? I mean, but it's something we're seeing a lot now, like these decisions and the game getting brought back and VAR, you know, making the final decision. So I think we'll see a lot more of that going forward.
Yeah, and it was correct. It was handball. It was extraordinary drama at the Dragão. Diogo Costa with the penalty save. Porto then scored two goals, two subs, Zaidu and Galeno, their first points in the section. Meanwhile, Club Brugge continue this extraordinary story, really. Remember, they lost their coach to Ajax in the summer. Carl Hufkens was promoted from one of the assistant jobs. He'd never coached in the Champions League, but he's led them to three straight victories. They beat Atletico at home by 2-0. They've never been through a group stage in the Champions League era. They reached the final in the 70s when they lost to Liverpool. But goals from Kamal Sowah, teed up by Ferran Jukla, who they signed from Barcelona in the summer. And then the Spaniard got another goal himself. So they are 2-0 winners. And Group B looks very, very good for Club Brugge. They have 9 points. And then a big gap of 6 points to Porto, Leverkusen and to Atletico, all of whom have 3 points. So a terrific evening on Tuesday in the UEFA Champions League. We can head back to Richard Connolly now, who has been listening to what Jurgen Klopp has had to say, and also you have your player of the match.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would go for Luis Diaz, Chris, because he was really excellent down the left-hand side. Mo Salah was the official player of the match, and he was back to his twinkling best at times, which is a good sign for Liverpool. But Luis Diaz, too, was really good for the tempo and the energy that they brought in that first half in particular.
Well, let's see how happy Jurgen Klopp is after that performance.
It was exactly what we needed. We needed a super, super solid performance, top defending, everybody committing in a new formation. And sometimes you have to change things, obviously, and it worked out for tonight. It's a bit of a surprise for sure for Rangers, the way we set up. It was one of the ideas, but it was more an idea that we get into the right spaces. We had that. So 2-0, imagine, we had plenty of chances. Imagine we would have used more of them. All of a sudden, it can soften the situation again. That's not what we need in the moment. 2-0, I'm more than happy.
So Liverpool victorious. Richard Connolly, thank you very much for all of your commentary and reports and analysis this evening. Mark Scott, final word from you. I need your player of the evening. Presumably it is from the game between Inter and Barcelona.
It is, and I know the official player of the match was Çalhanoğlu. Lovely goal from him. I'm going to nip in there ahead of Jenna and say Skriniar, though. Sorry.
Stolen it.
Well, no, the thing is, I couldn't ask you again, Jenna. So you have to pick someone else from maybe that match or another of the matches this evening.
Oh, you're really putting me on the spot there. I was going back with a captain leader, brick wall at the back.
You can have him, to be honest.
Right, you
can I
have
keep him?
Yeah,
can
you
I
can have him.
Him.
I'll say Stefan de Vrij, who I thought was also exceptional in marshalling that three-man back line.
Yeah, well, they're going to have to be good as well next week, right, when they go to camp now. But that section is set up very nicely. Jenna, Mark, thank you very much.
Cheers, Chris.
Tuesday was excellent. Wednesday promises much of the same. We're back on air on Matchday Live from 6 p.m. full commentary. Leipzig against Celtic, that's our early featured game. Then how about this? Chelsea against Milan from Stamford Bridge. Extended updates of Benfica's match against Paris Saint-Germain. So do make sure you join us for all of that as the Champions League continues on Wednesday night. Remember to download our podcast shortly after every match night too. But from me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the Match Day Live team, it is goodbye after a terrific Tuesday.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.